When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
These are the Keshi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Keshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Welcome to the Keshi Tapes. I'm John Hewlett, along with...
Favaz. Hi, John.
Hey, today's interview is not one that was done by Favaz or myself, and this one goes back to, I want to say, 82-ish, somewhere in that area.
Second week in a row.
Really?
Yeah, because last week we did Neil Peart, but that was done by Gary Kolander.
Oh, that was 81.
That was 81.
So, yeah.
So, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. And it's done by a guy who used to work here, Jack Silver. We did one of his other interviews earlier. And he's talking to David Freiberg, who was a longtime member of Jefferson Airplane and Jefferson Starship. And in the late 60s and early 70s, and throughout the 70s and into the early 80s, Jefferson Starship was a powerhouse band.
They were, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and we love Grace Slick. We've had her on a couple times, three times, in fact.
Paul Kantner.
And Paul Kantner. We've had Marty Balin on this program before. Yeah. And it's just, you know, they were one hell of a good band.
Yes. Let's go into this interview that Jack is doing. And he's interviewing him in a very casual style here because it was not on the air.
Right.
But he was interviewing him for something else that Jack would do with these artists. He'd take their comments and he'd do what was called a weekend rock report.
Right.
And he'd build a story around what these artists were answering as far as his questions go. So it's kind of loose, but it's...
he was part-time, wasn't he, John?
Yes. Jack was a weekend person here and did a lot of special projects. Let's put it that
way. Never mind. All right, go ahead.
Here we go.
Okay, basically now, I'm going to ask you some questions and...
I'll try to answer them.
What are you laughing at, John?
I'll try to answer them. I'll ask you some questions and you answer. Interview. Yes, very good, Jack.
Be the ideal thing. And then if you could possibly go ahead and speak up some, because it seems like we're talking all the way to San Francisco or something.
No, you're talking to L.A. right now.
Oh, L.A. Okay.
Is the connection good enough? You want me to go,
No, I tell you, this isn't bad, but it's especially good when you speak up and kind of really...
Okay, I'll put my...
put your mouth right on that, baby.
Mouth right on the old mouth.
That's what she said.
There you go. Yeah, that's
what he said.
Man, yeah, holy cow. Hey. All the way to L.A.
Hey.
All right. I have to ask the first question, and I hope this doesn't get the interview off to a rumbly start, but...
Jack,
why ask it?
Yeah. One of the basic things about interviews, unless you're really, really, really short on time, there's only one question you have time to ask, and this is it. You usually don't want to start with one that's going to get you off to a kind of a negative beginning with an art.
Because they could be a jerk for the rest of the interview.
Yeah, it's like right away, oh, I don't like this guy.
Yeah.
So let's see what that question is.
Why was Ainsley Dunbar fired?
Who says Ainsley Dunbar was fired?
Ooh.
Okay, now explain who Ainsley Dunbar
was the drummer. He was a drummer in Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Then he became the drummer in Jefferson Starship. And both those bands were out of San Francisco, so they all knew each other, and that's how they kind of, you know, did that. And Ainsley Dunbar is going to drum for other people, too, other well-known bands.
And so was this interview done prior to his stint with Journey?
No, this was after.
This was after.
Yeah.
He was in the old school Journey.
Yes. His old school Journey. And a little bit into the Steve Perry era as well. Maybe one album.
Infinity.
I think that was it. Yeah.
Well, that was the word that we received through a couple different sources.
Jack had very deep, deep sources, I'm sure, here in St. Louis.
Yeah, he was only part-time.
really, I mean, we just had a few differences about what we wanted to do and things, and... really, it's more or less between us, and it's nothing particularly hostile or anything like that. We just
didn't like him.
Yeah,
it would be better to go around different ways.
I see,
and that's about as much as I can say about it.
Okay, it's interesting. No one can talk. All right,
it's interesting. Nobody can talk.
Hmm.
Hmm. Okay.
I sure appreciate it. He was a wonderful drummer. You can turn the tape back on.
Okay, well, we have it back.
Oh, he stopped the tape there. I wonder why that dropped out like that. He must have stopped the tape and said, hey, sorry. He probably apologized for getting into it right away. Jack was a nice man. He was. He didn't want to offend anybody. You know.
And for that.
Yeah, I mean, Ainsley's a great drummer, and it was a pleasure playing with him for the years that we did. And I wish him the best.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll go onward and upward.
Sure. Replaced by Don Baldwin?
Donnie Baldwin, yeah.
Okay, how did he fit into the Starship?
Well, Mickey knew him from when they both played in Elvin Bishop's band when Elvin did Fool Around, Fell in Love.
Mm.
And since then, I think he's done some playing with Pablo Cruz, and he's played with Tom.
Pablo Cruz, I remember that.
Remember, what was that? Did they have a Cage Classic?
We played them very briefly, but they went pop so quickly.
What was that Pablo Cruz song? You're making me look it up.
I got to look it up. Pablo Cruz, yeah.
All right.
It was a pretty good size hit they had, too. I'll roll the tape while
it
you
was. Look. Good.
Yeah.
Johnson, ex of the Doobie Brothers. And when we were trying drummers out, he sat down, and it was obvious that he was the one right from the beginning.
He could beat his skins better than anybody else. I can tell you that right now. Hey, hello.
That's two of them.
He started playing with us.
Right.
And, we just actually played our first live concert with him last night, and it worked beautifully.
Good.
Felt real good, real good.
All right.
And on top of that, he's a great singer, which we'll take advantage of eventually, I'm sure.
As if the Starship doesn't have enough strong vocalists, add another one.
Well, now we got another one. He sounds an awful lot like Mickey.
Oh, no.
Gosh.
Wow.
Because they had Mickey Thomas and they had Grace Slick.
Yeah.
And
Marty Ballin. Didn't they have Marty?
At this time, they might not have still had Marty, but Marty Ballin was tremendous. Maybe then, we have to, as we go into the interview here, maybe we'll pick up some clues as to when exactly this interview took place.
Right.
All right. A band with the history of the Jefferson Starship, a reputation like that has its pros and cons. Do you feel pressure, like with each new album, that, hey, you know, you guys are a super group and you really have to deliver a super album?
It seems to be getting easier. I don't know why. We had a plethora of material for this last album. I mean, there are two really good songs, one of them mine, that we just didn't have room for.
One of them mine. Pablo Cruz, hit singles. What You Gonna Do went to number 6. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I think so.
And the title track, A Place in the Sun, at number 42. The album peaked at number 19 on the Billboard 200. That was a place in 1977's A Place in the Sun.
Okay. Yeah, that was, I remember that album. We had that album in the studio. And what was the hit again?
What You Gonna Do and A Place in the Sun.
Yeah, What You Gonna Do was the big hit. Yeah, I remember it. But I can't think of it off the top of my head how it goes, but I do remember that title.
And all the material was just so good. I mean, there's two of them that we really felt terrible about leaving off.
Well,
we had completely finished and mixed and everything, but, you know, you get to a point where there's only so much will fit on the vinyl.
They're either talking about Modern Times or Winds of Change from Starship here. That one of those two albums.
Lose quality if you try to fit too much on. And so, I mean, we haven't really felt any pressure from having to deliver. I mean, maybe there is pressure, but everybody's really just writing what they're writing. And we're lucky to have so many songwriters in the group, I think.
Definitely.
So, I mean, it kind of takes the pressure off when you have too much.
All right. As it relates to some of the individual members, possibly we could talk first about the grand lady of rock, Grace Slick. She kind of drifted in and out of the picture of the Jefferson Starship. I was wondering why. And
well, she was not happy with either the way the group was heading or where she personally was heading, I guess I could say.
Referring to her drinking problems,
Yep.
And she fired herself. I'm quoting her. She said,
"Have you ever fired yourself, John?"
Yeah. Have I ever fired myself? I'm trying to think about it. Yeah, I guess I kind of did one time. Yeah, I quit doing the ambush PA announcer job, so I kind of fired myself.
I fired myself from Broadcast Center. I was a teacher there.
Yeah, it feels better than having somebody else fire you. I can tell you that
because that wasn't right. And she went on doing her solo career and taking care of some personal things. And towards the album before this, she started feeling as though she belonged here, and she started hanging out in the studio and came back, not because she had to or anything, but because she felt it was where she belonged. That's another quote from her. But she just is a part of this, and she didn't feel right not being a part of it.
All right. Oh, the...
I can't think of anything else to ask you.
You can tell that this interview was not done,
yeah, right.
You know, on the radio for, you know, that he could edit parts out.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
Oh, fuck! God, this interview is so boring.
How much longer is this going to go on? I think they're talking about the album Modern Times, came out in 1981.
Oh.
Because Grace was not on Freedom at Point Zero, which came out in 79, and she came back for Modern Times in 81.
Right.
Saving the new album till the end, if I may. Okay. So many questions to ask. I mean, it's ridiculous. How about the influx of video? I see the Starship is becoming... becoming involved in a lot of video projects. Is that...
Matter of fact, I just left a video meeting.
See, I know. It's killing radio, thank you, but okay.
Which it did not, of course.
It didn't.
How do you feel that helps a band, or do you...
Matter of fact, radio killed it, because the video TV channels are gone, MTV and VH1.
It might hurt them, because a person might see these videos on TV and then feel... When the Starship say comes to St. Louis, well, why do I got to see him? I'll see him on MTV. Do you think that
that's a lot different? I don't think you could ever. TV could never come across like a live rock show. Never really has.
So you don't feel that will deter from?
I don't think it's a detriment to our live performances. No.
Next question.
Yep, I agree with him.
More than anything. Because I don't, being.
Is this one of those interviews that we're going to bail on in the middle?
No. It's a lot better than watching it on television, no matter what.
By all means. All right, well, let's get to the Winds of Change album that is out.
By all means. I love Jack.
Winds of Change. You know, he's talking about that record, that good record.
Oh.
That has... we played Can't Find Love today on the KSHE Morning Rock Show.
Yeah.
And what a great song.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just barely out at this time, but isn't...
This is 82. This is Winds of Change.
Okay.
Incredible LP. Winds of Change, does that concern the Starship, or is that a kind of a comment on the world as a whole?
Very good question.
Hey, now, that's a good question, Jack.
Absolutely.
Huh. Well, I think it's more global than regional.
Okay.
More global than regional.
82.
Oh, I guess maybe 82. What was going on in 82? Cardinals won the World Series.
Was that why?
I guess that's what happened. Change the world.
I mean, the lyrics speak for themselves, really.
Okay.
I mean, it's not particularly.
Yeah. Why can't you figure it out is what he's saying. Come on, help the guy out. Answer his question. Give him some meat.
No, personalities weren't involved.
So that was just kind of a comment overall.
Yeah.
How about that cover art? Tremendous. Yeah, beautiful cover art. Who does that? Who decides it? Etc.
Oh, we all have a big fight about it.
The cover of the album is it's very colorful.
It's cool.
The planet Saturn with the ring around it and a look like a wolf howling at it. Mm-hmm. And it really is a nice cover. Yeah. Jack's right about that.
Yeah.
Sit around the table and argue for a while.
We work with an art director, Rod Dyer and Associates. Who actually came up with the basic concept of that, and then we badgered them till they got it about like we liked it. It still isn't quite like we wanted it, but it's real close.
Yeah, well, that's a classy...
The concept is great. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It looks good.
Yeah, it definitely does. Would you have to say that an album cover is pretty important? Give me a reaction to the importance of a strong album cover. Do you feel like...
We've always thought that it was fairly important. I mean, we've always...
Another good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, God, it's two in a row, John.
Yeah.
As good of artwork as it could be, to be strong, but I'm not all that sure that it's that important. I think...
Somebody came in the room. Did you hear that? Did you hear the door squeak?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. And he paused.
Could be. to be strong, but
did you hear the door squeak?
I didn't.
All that sure it got attention.
That's why he paused.
Huh. Oh, you mean David paused?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't. I thought somebody.
Just one more time for the hell of it.
Because it could be to be strong, but
I did hear it there.
Yeah, somebody really came in the room.
What's on the vinyl is what's really important.
Oh yeah, I was
but,
just.
I guess it helps as an inducement for somebody to if it looks good, they're more likely to pick it up, I guess.
Oh, by the way, and I'm playing this back on reel-to-reel tape. That's why you're hearing the clicking noise back and forth. This interview is still on tape and sounds good. And I forgot to clean the heads before I put this thing on here, the playback heads.
You know, last week's was reel-to-reel, too, and it was the same thing. It was good.
Yeah.
You know?
Helps on those in-store
Makes
displays.
Makes it feel good, though, just to have it look like we wanted to.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the Starship on the road.
Alrighty. We're just starting that out.
Okay, where, what kind of plans do you have for a fall tour? And hopefully, do they include St. Louis?
I think they do. Hang on a second. Just a second. Let me get up my little calendar here.
Yeah.
I know I have one here somewhere.
Oh, boy.
Seemed to me I saw St. Louis in there somewhere. It's a tentative date. Now, I guess I can't guarantee this.
Okay.
I hope we were on there. Because you just wasted a lot of time if we're not.
Oh, yeah, really. Off that album, Winds of Change, Can't Find Love was the most well-known song off it. And then there was another secondary song called Black Widow that some people
might
know.
Good song, too.
That's a good song, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The city sure hopes
so. In November.
I had heard rumblings of the last week in November.
I have rumblings of about the 18th.
Let's fight about it. Come on.
Well, that's about the last week in November.
That sounds like a good
one. Though I'm not for sure with it. Absolutely for real. We're doing three California gigs right now, and then we're having a couple of weeks off. We're just testing out, you know, our stage setup and everything like that. And we did one last night. And we have one tonight, and one tomorrow night. And then we'll work out some more kinks, and then we'll about the end of this month we're going to start out in Chicago, but I think then we'll work our way back.
I see.
Back to the east and then back out again.
Wake up and go to sleep there.
Taking anybody, like last time it was a 38 special, as I recall, opening shows.
I'm not sure what's going to happen by St. Louis, but we are actually going to do some more gigs at 38 special this year.
Oh. Tremendous 1-2 punch.
We love playing with them because nobody steals anything from. We compliment each other rather than. We always found that we were out actually watching them play, and they were always there watching us play. So
that's nice.
Unusual. Usually, everybody stays in the dressing room, doesn't care about anybody else's act.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned you like touring with 38 Special.
Yeah.
I would imagine there's a band or two that you just don't like touring with. Who?
Ooh.
Come on. Give us something.
Come on.
Good.
Yeah. We better have a good answer.
Anybody?
No, he wants to say something.
He does.
Particularly. Yeah. No, I couldn't think of anybody.
Bullshit.
Looking for a little dirt there.
Bullshit.
There's a dirt. But I don't know. Generally, we're looking for support rather than, you'd find it hard to get us to open for somebody, perhaps.
Yeah. Getting you to open for somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. Don't be doing. No, if you're opening shows, I'd be wondering about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you personally, David. I was
okay.
And I'm sure you probably enjoy that. Maybe you can fill our listeners in as it relates to what you do to relax out there. You live in the Bay Area, or
yeah, we all do.
Okay, what do you do to relax when you're not dealing with the hectic life of a rock star?
I hang out with my kids. I do a lot of physical exercise. Work out in the gym. I play music.
Really? Even when just to relax a little bit?
I like sports. Mm-hmm. I watch too much football on television.
Not anymore, though.
Huh?
Not lately.
What do you mean? They still have football.
That's true. Yeah.
Was the strike? Was the strike going
on? I guess
on?
In 82. I don't know. Yeah.
Baldwin, Wallace, and Wittenberg.
Oh, no. The Canadian stuff or whatever it is? Oh, my.
The CFL?
Yeah, CFL.
Really well, I don't think I'd do it again.
Well, I would assume then you're a San Francisco 49er fan.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm actually still a Raider fan, even though they moved to L.A.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right.
Is it, though?
Well, really, that ought to just about do it.
Hey, he's rapping.
And again, kind of sound as up as you can.
Oh, he's setting him up to do the promo announcements for the radio station now. Hi, this is David Freiberger.
Well, let's hear one of them, just to be sure.
You sound it.
Hey, this is David Freiberg from the Jefferson Starship, and you're listening to the station that rocks St. Louis, KC95.
Okay, he did it. Hey.
All right. And why don't we go ahead and get a...
birthday.
Why don't we go ahead and get a Winds of Change.
Oh.
Reference.
Ooh.
I have to think about that.
Yeah, what am I going to say?
I'm trying to put my mind in the right frame.
Let's see. As the Winds of Change blow. Listen to KG95 and feel the breath of the music.
We get high.
Hello there. This is David Freiberg from the Jefferson Starship. And here is a cut from our latest album, Winds of Change, on Real Rock Radio, KC95.
Wow.
I would say that was pretty professional.
Okay. And I'm rolling on that as well.
All right.
All right. Are we finished?
Yeah.
Hi, this is David Freiberg.
Oh, what's that?
One more.
Starship X of Quicksilver Messenger Service.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Quicksilver, another San Francisco-based band.
Yeah.
I'd like to wish KC95 a most wonderful 15th birthday.
15. Wow.
Throw some tape here.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
He's got some other interviews on this tape, too, that we might be interested in doing. Billy Squire.
He's got Billy Squire on here?
Yeah. And Rusty Young of Poco, the late Rusty Young.
We got to do Billy Squire.
Yeah, we'll do that
soon.
We'll do that soon.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Anything else about David Freiberg you want to mention here other than that he's still alive? You know, Paul Kantner's passed away from the Starship, as is Marty Balin.
How old is that dude, David Freiberg?
David Freiberg, he's probably in his mid-70s.
Huh.
Early to mid-70s.
F-R-E-I?
Yeah.
Berg.
Some American people say musician. Freiberg, but it's Freiberg. And he was also a part of the Kantner-Freiberg slick group that did from the
Across
album
the Board.
Baron von Tolbooth and the Chrome Nun was the album. Yeah. And Across the Board was the song that Grace Slick was asked about in the interview we did with her on the Casey Tapes. And she responded, that song is about...
sex.
Yeah, that was it.
He is 83 years old.
Oh, my God.
He's going to be 83 this year. You know, and he lives in Boston, or he's from Boston, Massachusetts.
Well, of course he is, because Grace Slick is 80. And all those guys, they go way, way back. They were in their 20s in the 60s.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's
70s,
his pictures,
80s, 90s,
his picture when he was a young guy right there.
Yeah. Big old head of hair, right?
Big old curly head of hair. He did.
So there you go. And if you want to find out anything else about David Freiberg, you just go and do what Favaz did and Google it. You see the guy.
Yeah, that internet is a pretty cool thing, John. It's going to work.
Yeah, and you'll see that he was a pretty instrumental guy in rock and roll. All right, I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan. On Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
Hey, see you next week. AMF.
The KC Tapes with Hewman and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.